relatively few churches today either know or believe in the power of God and the importance of prayer. It's one of those shocking statements, so I'm going to repeat it so that you can be sure that you heard me say it correctly the first time. Relatively few churches today either know or truly believe in the power of God or the importance of prayer. Let me share with you why I say that. Perhaps you have had experience in lots of congregations and you visited other congregations and you've experienced their time together. My experience has been that in most congregations, they spend more time making announcements than they spend together in prayer. We often talk about our goal to simply get back to the Bible. We say if we believe what they believed, and if we teach what they taught, and we do what they did, we'll be what they were. I think one thing that we need to follow is their example in prayer. They were prayers. As congregations, they were prayers. Acts chapter 11 and verse 21 tells us about the church at Antioch. And we know that they had great success. And the text says that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great many who believed turned to the Lord. Why is it that a great number who believed turned to the Lord? Was it because of the great Bible class program that they had? Was it because of the great preaching that they had? Was it because of the wonderful plans and programs that the church had established? No, the text tells us that the reason a large number who believed turned to the Lord is because the hand of the Lord was with them. If we want a great number of people to be turning to the Lord, what does that tell us about us and our congregations? What do we need? We need the hand of the Lord to be with us. Oh, no doubt we need to have great vision and we need to have great foresight and we need to have plans and things that we're doing that can accomplish work. But as a congregation, we're spinning our wheels if the hand of the Lord is not with us. What does it take to be successful as a church? Having the Lord's hand. How are we going to get that? How are we going to have the hand of the Lord with us as a congregation? Just like we said last night with the family, I think the number one major prerequisite is this. We need to ask. If we want the Lord's hand to be with us, if you want the Lord's hand to be with this congregation, the very first thing you need to do is ask. Ask that God's hand will be with you. Enfold this congregation and lead this congregation and guide it and provide it with boldness and power and with success. We want the hand of the Lord to be with us. We need to ask. Remember what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen." Let's give glory to the One who can do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, and He's going to do it by the power that works within us. God can do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think right here in Massachusetts by His power working in us. That's what He can do. He's that powerful. He can use even us and accomplish great things. But if God can do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, what does that mean for us? As we said earlier, that means we better start asking and thinking big. Because God can do that. Let me just ask you, what kind of things did you ask God about this meeting? What kind of things are you asking God about the television program that you're doing? What kind of things are you asking God as you go out into the community and your work and at school? God can do amazing things. The problem is, I'm not sure that we believe it. I know for me, I struggle with it. But when we look at these folks in the book of Acts, they believed it. They believed it. And God did amazing things through them. When we look in the book of Acts, and we look at the prayer life that they had, I believe that we learn that when the leaders are given to prayer, and the brethren continue steadfastly in prayer, then God will work through us and our prayers. That's the outline I want to follow tonight. When the leaders are given to prayer, and the brethren continue steadfastly in prayer, then God will work through us and our prayers. Before we look at that, would you bow with me, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we love you so much. You're a great God. You've taken such good care of us. You've got us here safely. We know, Father, that you're with us and you guide us through all kinds of hard times. And we know that no matter what we face, what hardships, what sorrows, what trials and struggles, that you're there. That your hand enfolds us and you haven't promised to keep us away from hard things, but you promised to lead us through them. And we're so thankful for that. We pray, Father, that you would be with us and comfort us and help us to rely on you no matter what we're facing. And help us, Father, to lift you up and remember what great things you've done for us. Help us tonight as we talk about local churches and how churches can connect to you and be connected to you in prayer. Father, increase our faith that we might believe that. And that through that we might be warriors in prayer and warriors in your army. And that we might have victory and overcome the enemy. That we might spread your gospel and others will be saved and be set free from their sins. Father, we pray that you would watch over us and help us increase our faith and help us to walk by that faith. Through your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If the leaders are given to prayer, and the brethren continue steadfastly in prayer, then God will work through us and our prayers. A few things I want us to think about first about leaders being given to prayer. Of course, our first thought here is we're talking about elders, and we certainly are talking about elders. But we're not just talking about elders. The Scripture demonstrates that folks lead when they influence. And you might be a leader in some aspect of the work. You might be a Bible class teacher. You're leading someone. You might be the preacher. There's some leadership that goes on there. You might be a deacon. There's some leadership. I understand that the elders are those who have oversight over the congregation. But in Acts chapter 15, when they sent men with Paul and Barnabas, they sent those who were leading men in the congregation. It doesn't say that they were elders or apostles. They were just leading men. They were influential men. So we're not just talking about elders, even though there's primary concern there. But if we have a role of leadership, we need to think about our role in prayer as part of that. The first thing I want us to recognize is that leaders need to prioritize prayer. Look at Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, there was a problem at the church in Jerusalem. The widows were apparently being overlooked. The Hellenistic widows were apparently being overlooked. And in Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "In these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word.'" I want you to stop and think for a moment. What would happen if somebody came up to Mo and said, "Brother, we've got some widows that are starving. We've got widows who are going without food." And he looked at that person and said, "Well, I don't have time for that. Go find somebody else to take care of that." What would happen? I think we'd probably have a mutiny. But that's exactly what happened here. They came to the apostles and said, some of our widows are going hungry. And the apostles said, we don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. You're going to have to find somebody else to take care of that while we devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. You see that? They were spending so much time praying, there were these things they couldn't do. I don't know about you, but if you're like me, I tend to have the exact opposite problem. I've got so many things going on that I say I don't have enough time to pray. But what did these fellows do as leaders within this congregation? They prioritized prayer. They understood as leaders of the congregation, yes, they had to minister the Word. That was also part of it. But prayer was one of their number one priorities regarding their role within that local body. So much so that when widows were going hungry, they gave that job to somebody else. Is prayer that important to us? Is prayer so important to us and so prioritized that there's things we just don't have time to do? You know, the reality is, we have time to do anything we want. But we do not have time to do everything we want. And we need to prioritize prayer. But the second thing I'd like for you to see is that they need to pray daily. In Acts chapter 3, I think we see a good example of this. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 1, we see Peter and John going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. By the way, that's 3 o'clock. Now what I get from this one, it says the hour of prayer, whenever it was the ninth hour or 3 o'clock, that meant it was the hour of prayer. If it was 3 o'clock on Monday, what time is it? It's the hour of prayer. 3 o'clock on Tuesday, what time is it? It's the hour of prayer. Now, I believe that was some Jewish custom. I'm not saying that there's the Christian rule that for us, at 3 o'clock, we have to pray. But what I do see is that for Peter and John, prayer was something that they did every day. It was not just something that was done when there was an apostles' meeting. It was not just something that was done when the congregation was together. It was something that they did every day. Leaders in the congregation who are prioritizing prayer need to be praying every day. Daily. And as we've said in the past 2 sermons, we need to schedule that prayer. Schedule it. I think that's a way to make sure we get it done. Otherwise, we're always going to have good intentions. We're not ever going to get around to it. Excuse me. There's a second thing I see in this. And that is that leaders need to pray with other leaders. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, it wasn't just Peter going at the hour of prayer. It wasn't just John going at the hour of prayer. It was Peter and John going together at the hour of prayer. I think leaders need to be praying together. What a great use of shepherding time to get together and have a shepherd's meeting that is, let's just pray. We're not here to decide anything. We're not here to plan anything. We're here just to pray. Let's just spend some time praying for our flock. Let's just spend some time praying for our prospects. Let's just spend some time praying for our workers. Let's just spend some time praying for the work. Let's just get together and spend some time together praying. I'm sure that leaders in most churches today spend time praying. In fact, I'm pretty sure they probably do it most every day. But one of the questions I have is how often do they do it together? Other than just the obligatory, we're having a meeting, and so we're supposed to start and end this thing with a prayer. Wouldn't it be great if leaders just spent some regular time together, praying together? And they need to pray for every aspect of the work. They need to pray for every aspect of the work. Prayer needs to be how we begin our work, it's how we run our work, it's how we end our work. Prayer is the foundation because we're asking the hand of the Lord to be with us. What good are our plans and our programs and our schemes if we don't have prayer? We need to pray for every aspect of the work. In Acts chapter 4, After Peter and John had been taken before the council and then released and told not to go out teaching anymore, what did the apostles gather together to do? They prayed, according to Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 24, on down through verse 29. And verse 31 says, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the Word of God. In Acts chapter 6, when they had that almost division, and they decided to choose some men, in verse 6, Acts chapter 6 and verse 6, these they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. In Acts chapter 13, when the church at Antioch was going to support Paul and Barnabas and send them out to do the work that the Spirit had called them to do, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 3, it says, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. You see, every aspect of the work, whatever work they were going to do, for these apostles, prayer was part of it. Prayer needs to be a part of every work that we do, and our leaders need to be praying for everything that's going on within the local congregation. And finally, I'll suggest that leaders need to pray when together. In Acts chapter 20, Paul had called the Ephesian elders together in Acts chapter 20. He hadn't called them together for a prayer. He called them together to give them some final instructions because he believed this was going to be his last opportunity to talk to them. But I can't help but notice that in Acts chapter 20 and verse 36, when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Here the leaders were together. Why not spend some time praying? It's great for them to pray together. Why? Hey, here we are. Let's just do it. We don't have to have a special time or a special need. Don't have to have a big problem. Here we are. Let's just spend some time together praying. Wouldn't that be great if leaders, whenever they were together, just decided, all right, let's just spend some time praying. I know we just came over just to play cards tonight, but before we go, let's make sure we spend some time praying. How about we do that? If the leaders are given to prayer, God will work through us in our prayers. But it's not just about our leaders. It's also about the brethren. It's also about the congregation. What do we need to be doing as brethren, as a congregation? Now, the very first thing I'll suggest is that we also need to be prioritizing prayer. In Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we learn about that first church that was established. In Acts chapter 2, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. We need to prioritize prayer. Prayer needs to be one of the top things to which we are devoted. Let's talk about devotion for just a moment. Somebody might come up to me and say, Edward, do you love your wife? Oh, I love my wife. I am devoted to my wife. How's she doing today? I don't know. I haven't talked to her. Well, how is she doing this today? I don't know. You know, actually, I haven't talked to her in a couple days. We don't talk that much. Well, when's the last time you've seen her? Well, you know, we pass sometimes in the house. Does that sound like devotion to you? Right now I live down in Tennessee. Some of you have asked, am I going to quit being a Titans fan and become a Colts fan? Because I know some of you really don't like the Colts. Yeah, I get that. You don't have to worry. I'm not going to become a Colts fan. I don't think. I'm not really all that big into sports, so it doesn't matter. But if you ask me, are you a Titans fan? Oh, I'm devoted to the Titans. Really? Did you go to one of their games this last? Oh, no, I went to a game once. A friend of mine had tickets. We went to a game. Well, did you watch it on TV? No, I don't watch it. Well, what did you think about this player? Oh, who's that? Does that sound like devotion? No, devotion is I'm at every game. Devotion is I'm painting myself the colors. That's devotion, right? Well, let's look at our prayer lives. Would anybody remotely confuse how we pray with devotion to prayer? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're going to spend all our time praying. That's impossible. That's a figure of speech. It's called a hyperbole. It means an exaggeration to clarify, to drive home a point. Somebody was asking me the other day if I like country music. And I don't. But somebody might ask you, do you like country music? You say, oh, I love country music. I listen to it all the time. When somebody says, I love country music, I listen to it all the time, do we think that what they mean is that they've got their MP3 player with them even tonight, listening to it while I'm preaching, that they've got it at school, they've got it at work, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's all they ever listen to? No, of course not. What we know that means is they listen to it pretty consistently. They listen to it a lot. They listen to it when they're happy. They listen to it when they're sad. They listen to it when good things have happened, when bad things have happened. They listen to it in the day. They listen to it at night. We know what that means. That doesn't mean they don't ever listen to anything else. It just means that they like it, and they do it a lot. Well, that's what prayer without ceasing means. We ought to be able to say about that. Somebody says to you, hey, do you like to pray? Oh, I love to pray. I do it all the time. I pray when I'm happy. I pray when I'm sad. I pray when things are good. I pray when things are bad. I pray in the morning. I pray in the evening. I pray at night. Pray without ceasing. Are we devoted to prayer? Or is prayer something we do when things are just going really, really bad for us? We need to prioritize prayer. We need to pray congregationally. We need to pray congregationally. In Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1. I know this is before the church was actually established, but here were the disciples congregating or assembling together, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon the apostles. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14 it says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. What were they doing together? With one accord they were devoting themselves to prayer. It wasn't just individual devotion and personal prayer time. It was together devotion and prayer time. When they gathered together, they were devoted to prayer. What about us? What about as a congregation? Oh, I know I've heard. In fact, I've said, you know, that prayer at the beginning of our assembly, that's just a start-em-up prayer. That's get things going. We don't need to be praying all over the place. We need to get the assembly started and get into all the other stuff that we're doing. And when we're doing the Lord's Supper, we don't have to pray about everything. That doesn't have to go on and on and on. That's about the Lord's Supper. Pray about the fruit of the vine and pray about the bread and let's move on and the contribution. Well, let's just pray about that and move on. And boy, by the time we get to the close, everybody's sitting there for an hour and they're tired and they're hot and their back hurts and their kids are whiny let's just guide, guard, and direct them and ask that God be with them to the next appointed time and bring us back safely and move on out. And there's some truth to all that, I know, but now that we've whittled down all of our together prayer time to the bare minimum, when are we praying just to be devoted to prayer? You know, there was a time when the Wednesday night time together, I'm told, was called Wednesday night prayer meeting. Wednesday night prayer meeting. You know why it was called prayer meeting? Because when they got together, they prayed. They had everybody say, what needs do we have? And let's just sit together and pray them. Somewhere along the line, that got replaced with Bible study. Bible study is awesome. We need to be studying our Bibles. Hopefully, they'll get a series on that sometime. I'm not trying to denigrate studying our Bibles. That's one of the things we need to be devoted to. But what about prayer? What about prayer? I said at the beginning of the lesson that many churches spend more time making announcements than they do offering prayers. The very first time I ever preached this series back at my home congregation in Franklin, Tennessee, I actually spent a week and I timed our prayers and I timed our announcements. We spent in an entire week, brothers and sisters, an entire week, that's 7 days. We spent 12 minutes together in prayer. And 15 making announcements. We've gotten a little better than that since then. But I just ask you, how much time does the congregation here spend together praying? 30 minutes? 20? 10? In an entire week? Does that sound like devoted to prayer? As congregations, we need to be devoted to prayer. Because unless the hand of the Lord is with us, we're not going to be accomplishing much. And I just wonder, I hear everywhere I go, I say it in Franklin, that boy, it just looks like nobody wants to listen anymore. And I have to look at myself and the congregation where I am and ask, if we prayed more, would people listen more? Do we believe in the power of God? Do we believe that God's power can work in us and through us? Right here in Massachusetts? Right up here where everybody's religiously liberal and doesn't care about the truth? We say all those kinds of things all the time, don't we? Where I come from, we say, oh, they're all too rich. They don't care about the truth. We live in the 14th wealthiest county in the nation. Nobody cares about the truth in Williamson County. Maybe if we prayed more, we'd find more people who wanted the truth. We need to pray congregationally. That doesn't mean that prayers need to be 25 minutes long. In fact, a lot of the things we said earlier, I kind of agree with. It's hard to stick with a guy who prays for 5 or 10 minutes. But maybe what we need is just more opportunities to pray. Maybe we need some services every month that are devoted just simply to prayer. One of the things we've started doing down in Franklin is that we'll have on the final Wednesday night of every quarter. Still don't think this is great, but it's better than what we were doing. It's devoted to prayer and song. And we try to make the songs that are prayers. And there are songs that are prayers that the whole congregation is singing together. So just have an entire service just devoted to prayer. No, I don't like that. Those guys always lead the same prayers. They say the same things over and over again. Two things about that. You know, they don't have to. You can assign prayers and give people different topics. But number two, aren't there some things that are so important that we might pray for them over and over and over again? Is there somebody that you know that you would like to obey the gospel, that it would be important enough that if 5 people prayed for him that night, just over and over again, it'd be all right? We need to be praying congregationally. We need to be praying individually. In Acts chapter 16, we find Paul and Silas in prison. Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What were they doing? They weren't together with the congregation. What were they doing? They were praying and singing hymns. As we said, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us as individuals to pray without ceasing. But here in this lesson, when I'm talking about us praying individually, I'm not really just talking about our individual prayer lives. I'm talking about our prayer lives as members of a congregation. There's all kinds of things that we need to be praying individually. Our thanksgiving, our confession, our requests. But we're part of a congregation, and individually we need to be working in prayer for the congregation. We need to be praying for our shepherds. We need to be praying for those who teach us, for the preacher, the Bible class teacher. We need to be praying for our deacons. We need to be praying for the fathers in the congregation. We need to be praying for the mothers in the congregation. We need to be praying for the grandparents in the congregation. We need to be praying for the widows in the congregation. We need to be praying for the children in the congregation. We need to be praying for the men that the congregation supports. We need to be praying for the work that the congregation does. How many times have you individually prayed about this TV program that you guys have? How many times have you prayed for the website that your church has? How many times did you pray for this gospel meeting? Excuse me. As individuals, we need to be praying for the congregation and the work there. You know, sometimes I hear folks say, I want to pray more, but I sit down and I pray through everything and it didn't take that long and I feel guilty. Look, have you got a directory? I know you do because I got a copy of it. Why not just sit down one day and start at the A's and start praying for everybody in that directory? All the way through. If you know specific needs that they have, pray for those needs. If you don't know specific needs, then pray for generic needs that you know everybody has. Pray that God's hand of mercy would be with them, that they would overcome whatever temptations they're facing that day, that they would be able to grow and honor and glorify God. Tell you what, won't be long, you'll find out you're spending a good deal of time in prayer. Pray individually. I'm sure it doesn't shock you that I talk about prioritizing prayer, praying congregationally, praying individually. There's another avenue of prayer that I'd like to share with you, though, that needs to be taking place within the congregation. I just call that praying house to house. We need to be praying when we're together as a congregation. We need to be praying when we're separate as individuals. But we need to spend some time with other Christians praying from house to house. That's not the whole congregation meeting at someone's house, but just gathering some Christians together to pray. Look in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added their number day by day, those who were being saved. They gathered together in their homes from house to house. I fear that sometimes we spend so much time using these verses to talk about the fact that when it came to social time, they didn't do it as the work of the church, as individuals, that we forget that they were also doing something else from house to house. They weren't just having social time from house to house. What else were they doing? They were praising God from house to house. I don't think this was just they had a meal and made sure to pray before that. I think this is saying from house to house, one of the things they did was they praised God. They didn't get together at people's houses and say, you know what, we had enough of that church stuff, let's just have some fun. They didn't do that sort of thing. They were Christians. Their life was about Jesus Christ. They were gathered together with other Christians. What better thing to do than, hey, let's spend some time praising God. We'll eat in a few minutes. House to house. Look at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. You remember that James had been beheaded. And Herod, having gained some popularity among the Jews by doing that, decided, I'm going to do that again. He grabbed Peter. So Peter's in prison. And the angel releases Peter. And in verse 12 it says, when he realized this, see, at first he didn't know that he was really being released. He thought it was a dream. When he finally figured out he really was set free, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Have you ever asked yourself, why did Peter go to Mary's house? He wasn't staying at Mary's house because a few verses later we're going to learn that he leaves and goes to talk to some other Christians. Why did he go to Mary's house? The only thing I can surmise is because Peter knew there'd be Christians there. He wanted to tell the brethren what had happened, and so he was going places where he knew Christians would be. And he went to Mary's house. I'm guessing this wasn't the first prayer meeting Mary had had in her home. Now I want you to think about this. This is the middle of the night. Peter's not released until after midnight. And since he's going to be executed after the Sabbath, that means the next day is Sunday, here these folks are gathered together at Mary's house praying after midnight on a church night. That's pretty impressive. I got to get up early in the morning. We got church tomorrow. Peter's in prison. We need to get together and pray. By tomorrow, he's going to be dead. We need to pray. Anybody ever been over to somebody else's home for a Bible study? You ever been over to somebody else's home for a singing? Ever do that? Have you ever been over to somebody else's home where they just invited people together and said, tonight we're just going to pray? A couple people have. That doesn't happen as often. Wouldn't it be great if sometimes we just had invited people over and said, you know what, tonight we're going to pray. I don't do that as often as I like. I tell you, one of our best experiences, though, recently we've had a brother that's been drifting away. And we invited the elders and some other folks who lived closer to us to come over to our home. And we just spent the entire night. We spent a couple hours just praying for him. And some other folks. It was a great night. And right now, I believe God is working it. Gather together from house to house. Pray. When the leaders are given to prayer, and the brethren continue steadfastly in prayer, then I believe that the Bible says God will work through us and our prayers. I'd like you to look in Acts chapter 2 again. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46... Excuse me, back in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we know that the text said that they were devoting themselves to prayer. Verse 46 says, day by day they were attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, receiving their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. What did the Lord do? The Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Here were people that were devoted to prayer. And what was God doing? He was adding to their number, day by day. I believe that when we devote ourselves to prayer, when the leaders are given to prayer and the brethren continue steadfastly in prayer, then God will add through us and our prayers. I'd like for you to look in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had been taken prisoner. They'd been told, don't go out teaching anymore. They came back and they told the other brethren what had been said. And what did they do in verse 24? They lifted their voices together to God. And they said, Sovereign Lord, this is Acts 4:24, Sovereign Lord who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His anointed. For truly in the city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with all the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They prayed for boldness. What happened? Verse 31. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. They prayed for boldness, and what did God do? God emboldened. When our leaders are given to prayer and the brethren continue steadfastly in prayer, then God emboldens us through our prayers. Excuse me. In Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, Satan was threatening to divide the congregation. The apostles said, let's appoint some men to this task. And in verse 6, they set before the apostles and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. What had happened here? They prayed and God multiplied. He'd already been adding. Now He multiplied. That's even better, isn't it? When our leaders are given to prayer and the brethren continue steadfastly in prayer, then God will multiply through our prayers. And look in Acts chapter 12. We've already looked at this briefly tonight. Peter was in prison. And verse 5 says, so Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly! And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. You see, when the leaders are given to prayer and the brethren continue steadfastly in prayer, God will add through our prayers. God will embolden through our prayers. God will multiply through our prayers. And God will deliver through our prayers. God can deliver. You know, my problem tonight is there's that small part of me that wants to say, but yeah, but what if it didn't work? Boy, we're putting all of our eggs in this pray to the Lord basket. So you know what that problem is? I don't know if you're feeling that too. But that's what I said at the very beginning. Relatively few of us really believe or understand the power of God and the importance of prayer. Because even when we've looked at all these passages, and I've said it and I've preached this lesson over and over again, there's still that part of me that wants to say, but yeah, maybe. You know, I mean, if it doesn't work like this, let me back up and give you a reason why it won't work. I'll tell you what. What we need to be working on is the understanding that when our leaders are given to prayer and we continue steadfastly in prayer, God will work through us in our prayers. I don't know what all that work will be, but I know He's doing it. And that's where I need to work on my faith. That's where we all need to work on our faith, that God really will work through us. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Do you believe that? That's what we need to be working on. Believing that verse right there. When our leaders are given to prayer, and the brethren continue steadfastly in prayer, brothers and sisters, God will work through us and our prayers. Are we ready for God to start working through us? Then let's get praying. Would you pull out your songbooks, please? Number 359, Victory in Jesus. Number 359, Victory in Jesus. We looked just moments ago at Acts chapter 12, and we saw that Peter was imprisoned by Herod. Prayer was being made on his behalf, and God delivered him. There's not many of us who have ever had to go to jail because of our faith or because of what we've taught. But every single one of us at some point have been held captive by Satan. And I'm sure that every single one of us have found ourselves in that situation even since we've become Christians. Some sin that's besetting us and causing us trouble that we keep falling to. Here's the thing I want us to understand. That when we devote ourselves to surrendering ourselves to God in prayer, He can deliver us. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that you're struggling with, God can deliver you from that. You can overcome. That's why Jesus died. Jesus didn't die simply to make you forgiven of your sins. He died to set you free from your sins. And that's a growth process. But in Jesus Christ, that is exactly what will happen. That's what Romans 7 says. What might happen if you told your brethren where you were struggling and you got them to start praying for you? Just like that church was praying for Peter. You see, I'm convinced that many of us have this whole going forward thing wrong. We spend all our time talking about going forward because we've caused shame and reproach on the church. And is the sin public enough to warrant having to go forward? You know, the Bible never says anything about going forward. Not once. I have no doubt that it's a good opportunity that if you've done something and everybody knows about it, it's a good opportunity to let them know that you've repented. That's true. But that's our human reasoning about it. In James 5, when it talks about confessing our sins to one another, it's not because, well, your sin was public enough that you've got to make a public enough confession for it to really be forgiven. That's not what it's about. What James 5 is talking about is the fact that if sin is overcoming us, we need to be telling some folks about it. Why? So they can pray for us. Because when the leaders are given to prayer and the brethren are continuing steadfastly in prayer, God will deliver us through our prayers. And so tonight, I'm not here asking you, have you committed a public sin that you need to apologize to the congregation for? You don't have to apologize to me for any of your sins unless it was specifically against me. I doubt any of you have done that. But I am asking you, what do you think it would be like if the whole congregation was praying for you regarding the sin you're struggling with even in private? I know it's tough to ask you one night to just come up in front of the whole congregation. If you want to do that, I hope you will. If you're a little bit scared of that, find somebody. Talk to your shepherds. Talk to a brother or sister you're close to. Get them praying with you and for you. But if we can help you tonight as a congregation, why don't you come forward right now as we stand and sing number 359, Victory in Jesus.